What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is a teaser of an interview I did with Max Blumenthal. And to hear the rest of it, become Patreon subscribers at patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. Again, that's patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow.
A few blocks from where I was staying, a black man named Orlando Figuera was burned alive in 2017 after being identified as a Chavez supporter. And this was caught on camera, and it was a real turning point for people in Venezuela. So I talked about the cultural clash.
I didn't even know about that. And I mean, I try to be somewhat informed.
I mean, just Google Orlando Figuera.
And who was responsible for that?
Opposition protesters from the what you would call the Guarimberos. This took place in Chacao, Altamira, which is a upscale area, which is the financial district of Caracas. The main opposition leader to that point, Leopoldo Lopez, who is an aristocrat, the direct descendant of Venezuela's first president, light-skinned, white guy. He was the mayor. I mean, this happened under his watch. All kinds of right-wing terror happened under the watch of all of these opposition leaders. But this is the most heinous because it was caught on camera. And it was just a black man walking down the street. And they said, God. Chavista, they poured gas on him and
Jesus
burned him as he ran down the street. And so, you know, for people people watching that in the barrios, people watching that across the country who weren't part of this opposition bubble, they said, you know, we need to defend ourselves against these maniacs or they're, you know, we're next. And so they kind of batten down the hatches. And so when I would go to the opposition rallies, I mean, it's just so, it's almost like a cartoon.
Can you imagine, by the way, I mean, if it had been the opposite, if a Chavez person had, or an opposition person had been burned alive, the New York Times wouldn't stop covering it.
Well, the New York Times, they take the whole death toll. It would just take the total number and attribute it all to the government. But over half in the Guarimbas were killed by the opposition. They used a tactic called the Huaya, where they would wrap a piece of barbed wire across a road to try to close it off. And people were beheaded.
Oh my God.
Trying to get through the roads. And Juan Guaido was actually asked about this in 2016, about that tactic. And he called it a myth because it was his forces who were behind it. I mean, they dress him up like Obama and put him on the back of a motorcycle. He's the worst speaker I ever saw.
Yeah.
I mean, he's afraid of public speaking. He has the charisma of like a can of paint. And at the same time, it's deceiving. Like his image is very deceptive because behind him are the most violent radical elements of the opposition.
And he seems kind of like a nerd almost.
Yeah, totally. He seems like a yuppie on his way to work, his little briefcase.
Right. Couldn't believe it, but I could also that Marco Rubio, he tweeted an image of Gaddafi. And when he was bloodied.
That picture that Rubio tweeted was while he was being sodomized. There's video evidence that a bayonet was shoved up his ass while he was basically being driven into a drainage ditch where he was going to be shot. Then they took him to a butcher shop in Misrata and left his rotting corpse on a mattress for these fanatical opposition supporters to take victory selfies with. And it's important to note that he wasn't like – it was – you know, the way that the U.S. media portrayed Gaddafi's death is that he was somehow exposed to the public and that he was
right.
– it's as if this is what the public in Libya right. would have done to him walking down the street. And actually, he was in his hometown of Sirte. He was very popular there. NATO had launched this brutal bombing campaign of Sirte that had reduced a lot of the town center to nothing. And opposition elements, namely the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, which was a longtime Al-Qaeda ally, which had been armed by Qatar and supported by the U.S., was brought in as the kind of, you know, proxy force. And they attacked Gaddafi's motorcade as it attempted to flee the carpet bombing of this city. Lots of people were massacred. Bodies were found outside a hotel nearby of his supporters. And his bodyguards, who are black African Libyans, were beheaded by these fanatical Al-Qaeda allies who were actually, when they attacked his motorcade, they were being supported with NATO air power. So NATO was there bombing the front and back of Gaddafi's motorcade. So this is all about Rubio's tweet. Rubio thinks this is all good.
Right.
He thinks that if he tweets this, it's like, oh, I'm sending a message to scare the dictator or something. But if you're Venezuelan and you see it, you know, of course, if you support the government, you're going to be like, they're going to turn our country into Libya. Libya is hell.
Right. But do you think that it landed on – I feel like even Americans who aren't pro-Gaddafi – I mean, I don't know how – I don't see any polling. But I feel like that just came off as a terrible image. Maybe Real Jingoists embraced it. But I don't – it seems so unacceptable that a senator would post that.
Yeah, I think it should have been more – it should have been more of a scandal than Ilhan Omar, which we'll talk about.
Right.
But, you know, so many people have their – had their kind of – so many people were involved in making that moment possible in Washington. And so many people celebrated that moment in Washington, but they just kind of don't want to celebrate it. I was kind of too quiet about it at the time because I was like, oh, the Arab Spring is a good thing. You know, then I saw what happened to Gaddafi. I said, maybe Libya is fucked. Then I started learning more about it. When Rubio does that, you know, it sabotages Elliot Abrams, who is trying to get he's trying to get the military to flip in Venezuela, and he's trying to use all these incentives, he's trying to use threats, he's trying to pay them, whatever. And then they see that, they're like, okay, we're going to get killed if we defect, especially the high command. So beyond the fact that they are very patriotic, that they're nationalistic, that they hate the U.S. empire, which has destroyed so much of Latin America, the real power players in the Venezuelan military don't want to be sodomized with a bayonet.
They're weird like that.
Yeah. I don't know who I wouldn't.
It's a cultural thing. I can't relate to it. Rubio also undermines Elliot Abrams in that Elliot Abrams is pretending to be doing this for democracy.
I remember watching Jake Tapper interview John Bolton, and he kind of like attacks Bolton from the right and comes at Bolton from the right and is like, are you sure this deal with Korea can be ironclad? Do you really trust the North Koreans? Do you really? And then the one question about Venezuela and Marco Rubio is like, Marco Rubio wants to do temporary protected status for Venezuelan exiles. Can you guarantee that? It's like Marco Rubio is the humanitarian in all of this, according to
Jake Tapper. Oh my God. Jake and he's Tapper. Trying to push Bolton to be firmer, tougher,
more
iron-fisted.
It's like, Mr. Cheney, can you really assure us that all Iraqi children will be drowned in a sea of blood? Come on.
Quit playing around. Oh my God, that's amazing. By the way, Elliot Abrams, I think the biggest nothing that Ilhan Omar said was anti-Semitic. The real anti-Semitism comes when people identify Elliot Abrams as a Jew. Like, if you care about Jews, stop saying that. That's a real liability for us.
Stop acknowledging that Elliot Abrams is a member of the tribe.
Yeah, we really want to play that down.
His wife would constantly remind us when she was alive that, you know, she was a big supporter of Israel, who firmly believed in Palestinian genocide. And she had a blog called Bad Rachel. Rachel. Naughty Rachel wants to murder the Palestinians, who she called like demonic camel riders or something.
I hope you enjoyed that teaser. And to hear the rest, go to patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.